lots of you out there. I'm your host for Tea with Drink. My PS, my show promo for the new Friday slot that I have is it. I couldn't find it on my thumb drive, so I thought I would play Rockin' Bicycle off of the internet and then cut in when appropriate. And I expected to hear myself cut in, but I didn't. Anyway, let me turn off the music. Sorry, I know people like to listen to music and background music and all that, but I really can't think straight when there's music playing. So, today is Friday, June 17th. Oh, yeah. Juneteenth is coming up on Sunday, June 19th. Also coming up tomorrow is the Poor People's Campaign March in Washington, D.C., and probably Solidarity Marches in other cities around the country, which I don't know where those are. For today's show on Out There, I have an interview with my sister-in-law's sister talking about, she's a doctor in Erie, PA, and she's talking about direct care, trying to sort of bypass the insurance companies and have people pay directly for their care. So it's a lot cheaper, kind of, well, depending on whether or not you have insurance. I got a bunch of other interviews too, but little ones here and there. Sorry, there's so many computer screens. I only have one brain and there's like five computer screens open. Also today, I have Casey from talking about Abundance Farm a little bit. And I have a blank mind. So I'm just going to talk about what I've noticed today in my day. I saw catalpa blossoms on the ground. It's getting towards the end of catalpa season because I'm seeing the blossoms on the ground, but I'm not smelling them so much anymore. And I love the smell of catalpa. And the exciting, really the exciting thing is the mulberries are just coming in. June berries are just coming in some places and just ending in other places. Like, for example, I took a tour around the public health department building on Pleasant Street, like near Pleasant Street and Service Center Drive today. There's 8 Juneberry bushes all around that building. Oh, some of them are like, they're so sweet. But they're going to be over by next week. And mulberries everywhere. I am going to play a song for the berries. Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn.
Where you been? Where you been? It's the same old question again. What's the use, baby? What's the use? They ain't never gonna turn us loose.
All over your face.
Whoa, your lipstick is way out of place. Are we gonna tell them what we tell them every time before? They won't leave us alone. They want us to come home. We've been a busy making berries and picking wild mountain berries. We're picking wild mountain.
And
dedicate that one to Kat Berry and Jonathan. So that reminds me, yesterday evening was Thursday evening. Every Thursday in Florence at the Florence Civic Center by the Lilly Library is a free concert outside on the porch. Last night was Sylvia Johnson and Higher Help, Sylvia and Jerry, Ernest J. Johnson and Higher Help playing soul music, and we were dancing, and it was real fun. I'm not sure what it is next Thursday, but there's some website out there where I'm sure you can find out. So now, oh yeah, let me mention, let Kat Berry mention the Florence Farmers Market. Yes.
Table of Contents is a weekly music program that assembles an assortment of songs and sounds of many genres, and which may entail literally taking a random collection of musical sources off the shelf and giving them a turn on the table or spin in the CD or tape player. Each week presenting shows which can at times be organized orderly and at other times perhaps be not as much so, yet never dull. Tune in Friday nights.
This is Melissa from the VFW.
I'm sorry, we're having technical difficulties here in the studio. And I'm getting close to success here. Here we go.
Hey, can I get a quick quote from you for Friday's show about the farmer's market? You want to talk about the farmer's market at all?
Yeah, what I want to do is mention the woman I just met over there who is brand new as of last week to the market. Her name is Rebecca. Her business is Sleepy Owl Herbs. And I've been a follower and lover of herbs since my mid-20s, and I'm almost 72, and this woman just taught me something about my most beloved herb, which is motherwort, and she's lovely. I want everybody to come meet her.
Huh. And Wednesday Farmers Market, when and where?
Florence, Massachusetts, not to be confused with Northampton. Its own entity, 2 to 6 through whatever the closest Wednesday to Halloween. Be here.
Thanks, Kat Berry. And what are the vendors that are here?
Well, my friend John here, I happily just finally inscribed his birthday card. I've been keeping him for the last year and a half because tomorrow he will be 85 and a half. Mm-hmm. And he just got a good birthday card that I wrote. Mm-hmm. And in fact, his assistant will be 62 Solstice Eve, which is Monday. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a really good younger folks thing going on here with the eldest over there, whose Little Bear Bread is named for because that's her nickname, and she is 6 and a half.
The
eldest. No, she belongs to they're all free roaming. Like over here, we have two Violet will be 3 June 24th, and Etheria will be 3 August 9th.
Is it Lion's Tooth Farm Kids?
Bonding. No, this one is. This is Lion's Tooth, and this is White House.
Yeah.
Meaning there's a lot going on.
Lots of vendors have little children.
Yeah, and the kids are safe enough here, and they're farm kids, so they can be like running around and screeching and doing things around the bell. And it's fun. Cool. It's a village scene here.
Cool, thanks.
I think that's enough.
Thanks, Kat Berry, for all you do to keep Florence alive and happening and keeping people aware of events going on. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. This is 103.3 WXOJ. All right, so the official welcome sign at Abundance Farm on the bike path side, I don't know about the Prospect Street side, says, welcome, a big sign that says welcome. And then a smaller sign that says, welcome to Abundance Farm. Abundance Farm is a Jewish community farm that's a project of Congregation B'nai Israel in collaboration with Lander Grinspoon Academy, the Northampton Survival Center, and other community partners. We've been farming this land since 2013. We grow a wide diversity of flowers, fruits, herbs, and vegetables. We run a variety of educational programs on the farm all year long. We're a community space where anyone is welcome to visit and gather. We're glad you're here. What can you do at Abundance Farm? Harvesting. Unless there's a sign indicating otherwise, you can assume that everything being grown is freely available for harvest by anyone. This includes you. Come to Pick Your Own, Mondays and Thursdays, 3 to 6 p.m. to learn more. You may also come at other times that are convenient for you. Sometimes visitors ask, how much can I harvest? Like, can I really harvest anything? At the heart of Abundance Farm is the Jewish concept of Shefa, abundant flow in Hebrew. The understanding that we all have something to give and something to receive, and that together we can get all of our needs met. Please take what you think you will use. You're welcome to be at Abundance Farm from dawn until dusk. Sometimes we have school classes on the farm, and we ask visitors to give these classes the space they need for learning to happen. If you'd like to host an event or bring a group to Abundance Farm, please contact Emily Kieval, the CBI Executive Director, at director@cbinorthampton.org. Fires in the fire pit can only occur in coordination with an Abundance Farm staff member and when a staff member is present at the program. At this time, we don't have a public restroom available, nor are we able to accommodate people sleeping on the farm. Thanks for visiting. If you have any questions, please visit our website for more information and ways to contact us. AbundanceFarm.org. All right, it's Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening by now. I'm at Abundance Farm. It has open hours Thursdays from 3 to 6 where people can come and harvest food. Abundance Farm on Prospect Street. It's a project of the B'nai Israel Congregation Synagogue. And today, this evening, I was weeding the strawberries and I made a new friend.
My name's Casey, and this is my dog, Gal.
And Casey, what brought you to the farm today?
Well, Gal likes to run around and eat grass, and she's really good about doing her business in an easy place to scoop, and I need nature, she needs nature, and we're healing every day here.
Yeah. Do you have the chance to grow stuff where you live?
Well, loaded question. Working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you like about Abundance Farm coming here?
I like the teas and the herbs and the flowers and harvesting flowers, and it just blows my mind that there's this space, this little slice in the middle of town. And there's hawks and there's little deer and there's plants that I knew in my native South. But they're different. Mm-hmm. They're northern plants. So, mm-hmm. And my dog, Gal, just loves it because they threw her a birthday party.
So, did you harvest anything today?
I picked up some mulch. I guess they cut it for mulch in between the rows because it's very fresh and it's got wheatgrass and red clover. So, I harvested from the middle of the row.
Nice. I was weeding strawberries and had a few strawberries and some pea shoots. And they took the arugula before I got a chance to eat it because it was going to seed. They took it out.
You eat it when it's going to seed? And it's kind of bitter then?
It is. But, the buds, the flower buds before they flower, are kind of extra juicy.
Okay.
But, it's the only green, leafy green thing here right now, I think, besides the pea shoots. So I'm just happy. I just like to chew on. When I ride my bike by, because Abundance Farm, one side is on the bike path, the other side's on Prospect Street. But when I ride by, if I'm feeling like I need some greens, I just pull my bike over and run in and grab a handful.
I make an effort to get here, and today it took me 3 hours psyching myself up to get out. But once I got out and got the dog in the car and started driving, I was pretty happy.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing, Casey. This is Casey's Request, the Mamas and the Papas.
Very tired. it's causing me to swoon. When you go out in the street, so many hassles with the heat, no one there can fill your desire. Cops out with the megaphones, tell people stay inside their home. Man, can't they see the world on fire?
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Next up, I have an interview with my sister-in-law from Kentucky, her sister. This was from a little family gathering we had when I was in Kentucky last month. This interview is from May of 2022.
My name is Dorcas Macayo, and I'm a family medicine physician. I work currently in an urgent care center and Erie, Pennsylvania.
Some of the challenges that you face in the healthcare industry right now, where you are, what's your ideas for how to change your work environment?
My dream.
Your plan.
My. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the challenges in the healthcare system first, which are a lot from the patient's perspective and from a physician's perspective. And, you know, for physicians, well, one of the main things is the amount of patients we have to see in a day just to, you know, fulfill our, let's say, employer's goals, because you have to see a certain amount of patients so they can get paid or to get some revenue, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because insurance companies not always pay you for the visit. There are a lot of things involved. Uh-huh. They want to see physicians, let's say, comply with quality metrics that they came up with a few years ago. If you don't comply with it for any reason, they don't get paid. So our employers don't get paid. So there is a lot of pressure for us, for physicians, to, you know, do a lot of things that doesn't have anything to do with patient care. A lot of paperwork, a lot of things that got nothing to do with the patient, but it takes a lot of our time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think with this, well, I was talking to you before about how patients now have to go online just, you know, to make an appointment or to communicate with a doctor's office, but they don't get an answer right away. The message goes to the nurse, from the nurse to the doctor, from the doctor back to the nurse, from the nurse then to the patient, and it can take like 6-8 messages before the patient get an answer back, and it can take that whole day for them to receive an answer. And many times the answer is like, maybe they just send a message requesting an appointment, and the answer is there is no appointment today, and you have to call tomorrow again or send a message tomorrow and see if you get in, you know. So that's a few of the challenges. So, but then what I'm doing now, what I will be doing probably by the, you know, in the fall, is I will just leave my job as an employed physician, and I will start my own business, my own practice, which does not involve insurance companies. It's just direct primary care model, where patients just pay you for your services, either for a one-time service or membership model where you pay, like, let's say $59 a month, and you get the care you need. You know, you get your primary care services, you get your pap smears, you get unlimited visits. You can come see me every day if you want to, you know, and you get access to the doctor as well.
So what kind of monthly payment would someone have to make to be able to afford, for it to work economically for you, for them to get, you know, all the regular, like, wellness checks and standard things that they would typically need in a year without any major health problems?
What would be the fee?
Yeah, explain the membership model to me a little bit more. I never heard of that.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you probably want to know about direct primary care. We set a price, a monthly membership, and most of direct primary care doctors only charge between $50, maybe $79, for an individual. If you are single, you know, that's what you would be paying a month, and that gives you access to all your primary care needs. And then I think a family, nobody charges more than $200 for a family of four, because and it's doable, because again, if you are a private doctor, so when you submit a bill to the insurance, you probably submit it for $300, but the insurance gives you $60. You know, that's all they pay you. So it's like, it doesn't make any sense. I'd rather just see you, give me that $60, and that's it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's how it works. Okay. That's how direct primary care works.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of new concept. It's been around for, I would say, maybe a little bit longer than 10 years. But not many people knows about it.
Because
there have been a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. From the same people that we're talking about right now.
Yeah. So you were saying when we were talking earlier today that there's a lot of Amish in your area that would probably... Do you want to do house calls also? Can you talk about house calls?
Right. Right. So house call is one of them. That's basically how I want to start, just doing house calls and virtual care. Going to people's houses. Same thing.
Yeah.
Doing just what, taking care of their needs.
Yeah. But you're saying, like, with the Amish community in particular, since transportation can be an issue for many of them?
Right. Yes. So Amish people don't have, they don't drive cars. They use, horses and buggies. It's called buggies.
Carriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Buggy.
Yeah, exactly. So for them, it's very challenging many times to, when they, you know, when they need medical, when they need anything, they have to call somebody to take them in a car, wherever they want to go.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a service that I can provide to this community. Yeah.
And then also, like, the direct care, the cash payment, since most of them typically wouldn't have health insurance either, right?
Yeah, they don't use insurance. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For them, it's probably it's religious. I don't know exactly what. Why, but they don't use insurances. For them, it's just cash pay, everything.
But they probably wouldn't be going for the virtual visits.
Probably not.
All right. But you never know,
actually, because they have businesses, and in their businesses, they use, computers, they go online and everything.
Okay, okay.
And they also have phones. Okay, and I think they do cell phones too, but it's for work.
It would be interesting. I was in Missouri and by an Amish community, and I was staying at someone's house, and a couple of young men showed up in the horse and buggy, and then they took out a gas-powered power washer, cranked it up, and started power washing the house.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing. I know you're kind of tired from all travel and everything, and seeing all those patients all the time. The best, and thanks for your medical care.
Thank you.
That was Dorcas Lacayo, sister-in-law's sister from Erie, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio.
My Lord, I have read this book so many times, but nowhere can I find the page that says what I experience today. Because the footprints show you are by my side. You can lie to a child with a smiling face. Tell me that color ain't about a race. You can cast the first stone. You can break my bones. But you're never gonna break. You're never gonna break my faith and hope and yours to give. Truth and liberty of mine to live. Steal a crown.
To the launch of the Mass Poor People's Low Wage Assembly at Mara March on Washington, D.C., June 18, 2022.
And we need to do it with the biggest actions possible.
Because we know the only scarcity is the moral will to do what's right.
Veterans across this nation say enough is enough.
My voice is just as valuable as anyone else's.
We need the third reconstruction.
We have an immoral system run by immoral people.
but together we fight.
And we become an agent of change.
We're rising up to demonstrate the compelling power that we, poor and low-income people, have to reconstruct society from the bottom up. It's time for a change!
We are people of resilience.
Last I looked, there is still some open seats on the bus. I know there's at least one bus leaving Northampton from the Gazette parking lot at 1 in the morning tonight. If you go to the website, poorpeoplescampaign.org, you can sign up for a bus slot. It costs $135, but I bet you could get something subsidized. Next on Out There, let's talk about the Bike Lab.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is. What are you working on today, Lisa?
Oh, hi. I'm working on this old 10-speed Peugeot that I was lucky enough to find. It was abandoned, and we checked in with the police, and they said no one reported it. So I am going to give it a new life.
It looks like it's just your size.
Yeah, it is. I'm excited, too, because this is like the old 10-speeds. We saw the 73 on the frame, and we think this is from the year I was born. And I grew up riding 10-speeds like this, and I really love them.
Awesome. Yeah, what have you enjoyed about the Bike Lab today?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've learned so much. I've gotten the experience of... I've done things in the past, but I'm really bad unless I've done it over and over again to remember. So Ruthie helped me... take off the tires and the tubes, clean up the inside of the tire, check the frame, straighten up some of the, what was it called?
The valve stems.
And then, honestly, I hadn't ever taken off the back tire and dealt with dealing with the back tire before, so getting comfortable doing that was nice. Learned a little bit about tightening up when you have, what is it, the American wrenches on French bike.
The adjustable wrench, like a crescent wrench.
Yeah, getting used to that.
Yeah, because all the wrenches here are metric, and this is an English size nuts.
Right. But, yeah, and honestly, just learning about, you know, shifting and I feel really silly saying this, but I hadn't realized how much give there was on which shifter is this?
The front shifter.
Like the play between just moving the shifter slightly rather than it always. I know this sounds stupid. I'm honestly embarrassed to say it. But just, yeah, like shifting well and finding the ease. And also the lubing the brake tubes and
the brake cables
and getting the brakes in good shape too.
Yes. With a 1973 bike. Well, actually, I don't know if the brake cables and housing maybe has been replaced before, but I don't know. But with the older bikes, it was either clean them and lube them with the cables and housing or have to replace them completely. But we think we can get away with some cleaning and lubing. That'll buy some more time before we have to replace it completely.
Yeah, which is nice.
We like free here at the Bike Lab.
I know, and repurposing and reusing as much as possible. So it feels a lot better. Just I could even feel the difference when we did clean up the cables and get a little lube in them. So that was nice. And I'm looking forward to riding this. I'm hoping to commute to my new job, which is only a couple miles from where I'm living. So that'll be fun. And also getting out on a good nice old 10-speed again.
Cool. Well, when you take it for a test ride today, before you leave, I want to ask you again how it felt. How about you, Lincoln? How's your bike lab day today?
Pretty chill. It was only one person came. I was expecting more people because the weather is nice, not too hot.
Yeah.
But I'm also enjoying it, just being low-key, not doing much, and chatting with people. And I really like bike lab because it's a good place to meet people, you know, and work on bike and learning bikes, cool stuff, you know. Always, like, I'm so into, like, oh, this is new. No, this is, like, old-style bike. Wow, look at the design. Mm-hmm. You know, the detail is really interesting.
Yeah.
And seeing the way, the old way of, like, the pedal.
Oh, the crank arms.
The
powdered cranks.
Yeah. It was like, wow, I never saw that before. That's really cool.
Yeah,
so I'm having a good time here.
How was it?
It feels great. The shifting was good, and the brakes definitely worked front and back. I think it's in good shape and ready to go. I'm excited. This was so great, and I really appreciated, Ruthie, how patient you are. I have to admit, you know, I'll just say it, as a woman, it felt really comfortable being here because sometimes I'm very intimidated going into the bike shops with all the experts and stuff. And like, this was very chill and nice. So thank you.
Well said.
So I don't know about Bike Lab tomorrow, June 18th. I think I'll be there, but I kind of want to go to the Poor People's March in D.C., but then I don't know if I can handle a bus leaving at 1 in the morning and traveling all night and then being on my feet all day at the march and then being on another 8-hour bus ride back. But then I think about the people who, like, work on their feet all day, standing in restaurants and stuff like that. And I think about other people who might come to that march and how hard they probably had to work to get there. It was a hard work week for me because some coworkers, housemates had COVID, some other coworkers on vacation. So I was hauling a lot of trash this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Basically, I was just like a machine on a bike and a trailer. And anyway, I'm pretty sure I'll be at Bike Lab tomorrow, 12 Northern Avenue, 11:30 to 2:30.
Coming down King Street, I just passed someone walking who I think has opioid addiction. And I was thinking, you know how they say, no one wants to be addicted. You know, no one would choose to be an addict at all. It's like, it's such a hard life. As I was thinking that thought, you know, no one wants to be addicted. And I was passing the Cumberland Farms, the gas station, looking at the cars there, getting their fix at the gas tanks, and just thinking, no one wants to be born addicted. No one wants to be born into this culture where that's all they know is addiction to the gas pipelines and putting that in the veins of every movement, every way to get anywhere. I think most everyone wants to be free to have freedom of choice in how to get places, freedom in how we spend our time and what our mind thinks about and how we move our bodies, how we get where we want to go in this world, how we see our options for destinations available to us.
All right, that was a rant by myself. Ruthie would drink. So I have another rant. Sometimes people tell me that one of their favorite parts of out there is when I really get off on a rant. Okay, well, I got one prepared. This is called The Liquid Soap Conspiracy. How many ways can they find to put things in plastic? Things that were perfectly fine before. Liquid soap. I'm talking about pump bottles marketed as hand liquid. I'm talking about laundry detergent in a plastic jug. I'm talking about shower body wash and shampoo and dishwashing liquid. I was having a conversation with a housemate recently that went something like this. She said, I definitely see the environmental and economic benefit of bar soap, but isn't it unhygienic to have everybody's hands or bodies swiping a shared bar? Oh, my friends, that's the magic of a bar of soap. Tested worldwide on generations of hands and a multitude of sanitary crises. Ask the internet if you don't believe me. Fortunately, my housemate asked the internet. She said, I did my research and I found out that bar soap is perfectly safe to share. The surface is inhospitable to germs. And I would add, unlike the plastic top of a pump bottle that everybody's dirt hands touches. Well, but hopefully you would wash that off anyway. Wash after that anyway. Another thing about bar soap is I rarely see it with antibacterial agents added like liquid soap has. I mean, isn't soap itself antibacterial? Like, what can survive a pH so basic? What is this antibacterial of which they advertise? Well, I was going to do some research online to tell you how many bottles of liquid hand soap are thrown away every year, and how many are bought, and how many are added to the waste stream when empty or mostly empty. Actually, I have some liquid soap in my house right now because I have a pump bottle that I found in the trash. Full. Totally full. I guess someone didn't like the smell or the lack of smell, or I don't even know. Well, anyway. What was I going to rant about? And the costs, I did not do a cost comparison. I know there's a wide variety of costs in terms of how much you could pay for a bar soap, whether you get a bulk bar soap from a box, or whether you get like a handmade, homemade farmer's market goat's milk bar soap or something like that. I think that with liquid soap, you're getting cheated. And do you know who owns most of the liquid soap sales? I don't see them very often at the farmer's market. So, well, bar soap. Big corporations own most of those sales, too. But, right, you can buy the handmade bar soap at farmer's markets and stores. At least if you buy that, the economic benefit may not benefit you as immediately, but your neighbors who make it would get the money and keep more of it, which means it would likely recirculate in the community rather than getting sucked out. But if it's just about economics, often I think you can get bar soap in international markets, like that pink zote that I associate with Mexico, or the blue soap of Trinidad, and those bars are good for laundry, etc. Yeah, when I was in Trinidad, they sold soap. It was just like a cardboard box and just loose bars of blue soap in the cardboard box. So it didn't even have a paper wrapping, which was nice. Speaking of laundry and soap for laundry, now that's another befuddlement to me. Like, why liquid laundry soap is such the norm. Powdered detergent in a cardboard box is still available to the best of my knowledge. But as a trash hauler, wow, I can't tell you the last time I saw a cardboard laundry detergent box. It's all plastic jugs all the time. Personally, I can't say how readily available the powdered detergent is because I never need to buy or make laundry washing soap because most of the time people throw out their plastic jugs. Well, not most, but enough of the time when they throw them out, there's still one serving left. You know how hard it is to get the last third of a cup out with those supposedly convenient plastic pour spouts jammed onto the top of the jug. They just prevent you from using everything you paid for, those so-called convenient spouts. So I'm always bringing the so-called empty jugs home and getting the dregs. I keep a short, sturdy knife next to the washing machine, and I stab them in the middle, and I slice them open all the way around and pour the good stuff into the washing machine soap dispenser and wipe the rest out with my dirty clothes. And very fortunately for me, most of my Pedal People customers use non-scented detergent because, wow, there's some smelly stuff out there, especially the blue stuff. When you're not used to fake perfumes, they really start to strike you as chemically offensive. When I find jugs with the smelly stuff, usually chemically blue, I use those outside for washing compost buckets and recycling totes and things like that. And then there's dish liquid. How to replace that? And I was in Trinidad. They had like a dipping paste that you swipe your dish rag in. Oh, I forgot, though. A lot of people have dishwashers. I don't know. Well, but dishwashers, hey, dishwashers, I think they usually use powder detergent. All right. So, laundry soap. If you use that powder for washing dishes, that can get real slippery. I've had many a glass jar shoot out of my hands and into the sink full of other glass jars when I was trying to wash it with the remains of laundry detergent. Well, if you really want liquid soap from a bar, here's how my dad does it. Well, first, he loses his little bar pieces behind his stove somehow. When I was fixing his stove last month and I pulled it out to unplug it, I discovered 9 bar ends, soap bar ends. So I collected them in a bowl, thinking of trying to wash the greasy dust that gathers around the stove, behind the stove and under the stove. So I put them in a bowl thinking I was going to try to wash the dust off and then soften them and cram them all together in my hands and make one big bar again. But he said, well, you could do that, but I like to just keep them soaking and make liquid soap. So I put them in his empty dish detergent squeezy bottle with water, and there is our liquid soap. So far in this rant, I have not resorted to internet research to prove my points. Just my experience as a trash hauler and living in different countries. Common sense, what I call common sense, and 48 years of cultural observation. Because searching for evidence on the internet to support what you know is true is just answer shopping. And I hate shopping, period. Okay, so I went looking for an answer on the internet. And you know what I found? Someone saying he didn't use soap at all, not even bar soap. And you know how I felt? Ugh, probably like all the liquid soap users feel when I tell them, I only use bar soap wrapped in paper. Well, this guy on the internet probably isn't splashed with compost slop on a daily basis, smeared with aluminum powder from the aluminum bike trailers we use to haul trash that rubs off on the plastic totes we use, and smudged with bike grease and sprinkled with street salt and grime. I told one of my coworkers yesterday, hey, when I'm on one of my self-righteous rants, consider it a compliment that I trust you to not judge me. The end. You're listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. Out There now airs Fridays from 4 until 5, followed by Democracy Now from 5 until 6, and Evidence-Based Radio from 6 until 7, and Civil Politics at 7. That's on Fridays. Ooh, that reminds me. 6 o'clock, Friday, Ultimate Frisbee, Haydenville, the park off of, what is the name of that street? Oh, blanking. It's across from the Catholic Church, kind of near, what's the name of that bakery? Why am I blanking on that? Well, Haydenville's not that big. It's just off of Route 9. I know listeners know exactly which bakery I'm talking about in Haydenville. All right. I'm going to play Los Tigres del Norte with La Banda del Carro Rojo.
Dicen que venían del sur en un carro colorado, traían 100 kilos de coca. Iban con rumbo a Chicago, así lo dijo el soplón, que los había denunciado. Ya habían pasado la aduana, la que está en El Paso, Texas, pero en mero San Antonio los estaban esperando. Eran los rinches de Texas que comandan el condado. Una sirena lloraba, un emigrante gritaba que detuvieran el carro para que lo registraran y que no se resistieran. Porque si no los
así empezó aquel combate. ¿Dónde fue aquella masacre? Decía Lino Quintana, esto tenía que pasar. Mis compañeros han muerto, ya no podrán declarar. Y yo lo siento, Cherif, porque yo no sé cantar. De los siete que murieron, solo las cruces quedaron. Cuatro eran del carro rojo, los otros tres del gobierno. Por ellos no se preocupen, irán con Lino al infierno. Dicen que eran del candil, otros que eran del altar. Hasta por ahí dicen muchos que procedían del parral. La verdad nunca se supo, nadie los fue a reclamar.
Pero primero, ¿cómo te llamas?
José Mojica.
Y José's got a joke or two or three for us. What's your joke?
El chiste es de un niño que preguntó a su mamá.
So the kid asks his mom,
mamá, ¿cómo nacen los niños?
So mom, how are babies born?
Su mamá contesta, no sé cómo explicarte, estás muy pequeño.
So mom says, well, I don't know how to answer that question, because you're real small to be, for me to explain this to you. You're real young still.
Pero voy a tratar de hacerlo simple.
So I'll just try and do it real simple.
Se mete un dedito en un hoyito.
So you put your finger in a hole.
Y nace un bebé.
And a baby is born.
El niño se va a jugar a la tierra.
The boy goes out to the yard to play.
Y ve un hoyito.
And he sees a little hole.
Mete su dedo.
So he puts his finger in the hole.
Sale una araña.
And a spider comes out.
El niño dice, ¡ay, pinche araña! Si no fueras mi hija, ahorita te mataba.
And he says, ¡ah, you cursed spider! If you weren't my daughter, I would have killed you.
Right.
Okay, now we have one more joke with a moral in it.
Iba Jesucristo con sus apóstoles.
Jesus Christ was with the 12 disciples.
Y les dijo, vamos a subir a la montaña y de penitencia vamos a llevar una piedra cada quien.
So we're going to climb to the mountaintop and everyone's got to carry a rock. Everybody's got to carry their own rock for penance.
Casi todos los apóstoles tomaron una piedra como de unas 2 libras cada uno.
So everybody got a rock. Each rock people took was about 2 pounds.
Excepto Judas.
Except Judas. Now, if you know any Christian history, you'll know Judas is the bad one.
Sí. Entonces Judas agarró una piedra muy pequeñita.
So Judas got a tiny little rock.
Y fue jugando con ella.
And he was playing with it.
Cuando llegaron a la montaña, Jesús dijo, por el esfuerzo hecho en la penitencia de traer una piedra, yo se las voy a convertir en pan.
And when they got to the mountaintop, Jesus said, as a reward for the great effort you've spent in your penance, I will convert your rocks into bread.
Y todos comieron mucho pan, excepto Judas.
And everybody had a lot of bread to eat, except for Judas.
Porque él llevaba una piedra muy pequeña. Al siguiente día, dijo Jesús, vamos a subir a la montaña nuevamente.
The next day, Jesus said again to the disciples, we're going to go to the mountaintop again. Everybody get your rock.
Todo mundo agarró una piedra como de unas 2 libras.
So like the day before, everyone got a rock that weighed about 2 pounds.
Judas pensó esta vez, yo no me voy a quedar con hambre, y tomó una piedra de 50 libras.
But this time, Judas thought, I'm not going to die of hunger. And so he got a rock that weighed about 50 pounds.
Llegaron todos normal, pero Judas iba muy cansado de cargar esa piedra tan grande.
Everybody arrived fine except for Judas. He was exhausted by the time he got that big rock to the top of the mountain.
Entonces Jesús, llegando a la cima de la montaña, les dijo, por el esfuerzo hecho el día de hoy, les traje sándwiches y la piedra es para que se sienten.
So then Jesus said to them, as a reward for your effort today in penance, well, I brought you all sandwiches for lunch, and you can sit on the rock that you brought.
Ha, 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 ha.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock.